Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Sam Cattle here. Don't know where the Miracle Man is, but he's a coming. He'll be here in a few minutes, evidently. And we're working this process out. I'll give us a few preliminaries here, and then Miracle Man will be here to have his show. Teaches you on faith. Hebrews chapter 11. I think today is Genesis chapter 41 or 42. Not quite sure on that, but I've just sat here at McDonald's in West Branch and ate a very delicious America's favorite fry. Some people don't think they need that much salt or fat in their life, but, and you probably don't. They're just delicious. And delicious is good. And then Miracle Man will say it'll prove the point, but I got a big cup of hot coffee. This is a very wet, rainy, cold first day of deer season out here. And the last couple of days, I've just been like, no, I just want a big cup of coffee. A big cup of coffee. So I got my end covered. Now, here's some details about the show. We always say it's a smart thing to listen to this show or follow this show on your smartphone. And so I encourage you to do that. You can go to Blog Talk Radio and you can search up this program. If you just put in Miracle Man, you're going to find the program. It's got 41 shows now. This is our number 42. And you can find it that way, or you can search for the channel name, the Blog Talk Radio channel, which is Upfront Entertainment. I've used this for quite a few different things throughout the years, and I'm very honored to be able to help Rivers get himself going here. And it won't be long. He'll have his own channel and be out there broadcasting, doing all kinds of stuff. But blogtalkradio.com, search up Upfront Entertainment or Miracle Man. And I am going to, you'll be able to hit the button there that says follow. And when you do that, you have the ability, Blog Talk Radio, as soon as I schedule a show, Blog Talk Radio will send you a notification when the next show is. Right now, all of the Miracle Man shows are at 5 o'clock on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And you never know. Now, if the weather changes and it's winter, that could make a difference. We're pretty excited about how this is working. Now, 215-383-3810. You can call in, talk to the host, ask a question about what we just talked about, read in the Bible. We pray for you. The Miracle Man believes in miracles. And he's an amazing prayer warrior. And we'll be glad to pray for you if you need prayer about your family, your marriage, your money, your mouth. Your mean neighbors, anything, it don't matter. We'll be glad to pray for you. And that's 215-383-3810. Just click the one button. Now, if you're traveling down the road, you want to be a part of the show and just listen in, all you got to do is dial that number. You can listen right on your smartphone. Most smartphones today hook up to the car audio, and you'll be able to listen to it right through the speakers in your car. And so, Miracle Man will be here in a minute. He just texted me. So 215-383-3810. If you want to talk, you want to ask a question, have us pray, click the one button. That sends you into the queue. I can see you in the queue. And we'll get you connected. You know, we don't just let anybody just come in and talk, because we want to make sure we know what you're going to talk about. Because there are some weird people in this world. And so make sure you get connected that way. And it's great. It's a great show, you know. And if you will call in and talk and ask a question and be a part of the show, it even makes it even more fun. And it makes the show turn into something awesome and fun every day. And, you know, we always say, the Miracle Man always says, we'll talk about anything except for politics. And if you ask us about politics, we're going to tell you one thing. Are you praying for our leaders? Because it's easy to talk about it, but you got to be willing to pray about it and go before God and declare under God Almighty, your will be done on this earth as it is right here in America. Now, you think about this. I'm going to say one more thing. I don't think I've ever said this here, but I'm going to say it. If you go to Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, and you read what it is he's saying. Let's see. That's not it. There it is. Hang on, they're texting me. You look at what this says. You know, in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this sacred ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, fought here, who died in battle, have consecrated our freedoms far above anyone's ability to add or to detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here. Wow, this is he made this speech on November 19th, 1863, which is, you know, 4 days from now. Let's see. Forget what they did here, but the world will never forget what our men and women have done for us. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which these who fought have so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, you and me, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. And we highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain, and that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom. Hey, this was 1863. And President Lincoln was saying, let's have a new birth of freedom. It don't matter. It's 2017. Let's have a new birth of freedom. And that this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Now, folks, it's saying politics. This is a great address, speech that one of America's greatest presidents ever gave, beckoning, calling every generation to make, Donald Trump's statement is, make America great. Well, Abraham Lincoln was saying, your generation, you make it great. This government is of the people, by the people, for the people. You know, one of our great anthems says, long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Folks, that's not, it's not politics. Politics is Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative. If you don't like what's going on, well, then get up and go do something. But most of all, you keep calling on God and watching God do something. As we say all the time, this isn't politics. We don't talk politics here. We'll talk praying for our nation. You want to call in and ask us to pray? We'll pray for the nation. We'll pray for our leaders. We'll pray for God to give us holy leaders and God to root out the bad leaders. But this is a show about faith, fun, miracles, and then football, basketball, hockey, baseball, whatever's going on in this world. Now, here we go. The Miracle Man is with us now, and let's get caught up with him. Afternoon, Miracle Man.
Good afternoon. Praise God, everybody. The Miracle Man is now live on the air. By the way, preacher,
I gotta tell you
what was
something.
That? Yes?
I got to tell you something.
Go ahead.
I had a really great, large America's Greatest Fries. Already ate them. Delicious. Crispy, salty, greasy.
And, yes, and by the way, I am finally drinking. It finally came out to a McDonald's near you. Eggnog shake for Christmas.
Eggnog shake for Christmas.
The eggnog shakes are out already.
We have a cold, rainy day up here, so I got a big cup of McDonald's coffee in front of me today. So it's all up to you, Mr. Miracle Man. Take it away, man. I didn't pray yet. I just gave the phone number, told people how to find us, how to get connected to the show.
And what was that thing you were saying about leaders? What was that thing you were saying about leaders a bit ago?
Well, I was reading the Gettysburg Address because I said we don't talk politics. And then I felt like I should read the Gettysburg Address, because if you call in and want to talk about politics, we're going to say pray for your leaders. That's what God said to Paul.
I would
pray
say
first
same,
for
I would
those who are.
The same thing.
Say again?
They tell me. I'm going to say, if they called and called me and I said, I would say pray for your leaders just like you would. I would say the same thing.
Yep.
I would say, nope, you can pray for your leaders. That's what I would tell them. Because I would say we got other shows we can listen to. You can call in about that. If you want to call someone, call Laura, call Glenn, call Sean Hannity, call Rush.
Yeah.
Don't call me, because I'm gonna. For one, I'm gonna tell you to pray. And two, secondly, I'm not a political talk show host.
Amen.
Not my business. That's not the realm of business I work in. Now, folks, so tonight, what the plan is tonight is we got the verses we're going to read on faith. We're going to read some more out of Genesis, and I'm going to exhort. Then I'm going to talk a little bit about the first Thanksgiving. When I was looking at that today, I was surprised that some certain things that are on the Thanksgiving menu were not on it in 1621 when they had the first Thanksgiving. And no, there's no spoiler alert. We're going to get to that later. And then after we do that, we have some sports stuff to get to. And we got NFL for this weekend games for me to pick. We got college games I got to pick. We got some high school stuff I'm going to pick. And we have that going on. Then we have college basketball.
Come
in
on.
High gear now. As the number one team played the number two team last night. And, well, I will say it was not exactly what I was hoping or expecting for. So, again, no spoiling alerts. We will do that when the time comes.
All right.
Now, the word of prayer. And we got to get going, because this is one of those nights where it's almost like a December 23rd. meaning a lot going on and a lot to get to, if you know what I mean. So, with that in mind, we're going to get going. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this great show tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for this great audience who joins us on the worldwide wide web and on this blog channel to listen to us. Thank you, Lord God, that you'd bless my mouth tonight. Thank you, Lord God, that you'd bless the people who listen to this show. And thank you, Lord God, that donations would continue to come in towards that equipment that I have need of. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. And I just thank you that lives will be changed as they listen to this broadcast tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this equipment, this broadcaster's mic, we're most of the way there. We're still believing for a little more money. You can donate to us. And what's the website to donate, Preacher?
They can donate to PayPal. I got a PayPal account, and that is HG Preacherman, just like Holy Ghost, HGPreacherman@gmail.com. And then I'll get the money to the Miracle Man and Miss Julie.
So he's got.
I'll put my email address right there in the details for the show.
Okay. Because we're still believing, you know, we live by faith here, and we go by faith, not by sight, because just going by sight is really going to hurt you. But nonetheless, we walk by faith, and by faith it is paid for. And by faith we have that new equipment. And when we get that equipment, it's going to bring a whole other quality to the show as far as great sound and all that great stuff. And I can't wait. But now, folks, I am going to get on the move and turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Again, we're going to keep that reading going on faith. It's powerful. Once again, that's Hebrews chapter 11. And just giving you a second to turn to it. I am now there. You can catch up to me. And here we go. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, the certainty of what we do not yet see. This is what the angels were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man. When God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith he still speaks, even though Abel was dead, because, you know, Cain went out there and killed him. Cain killed his brother Abel, and basically the first homicide. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away, so that he would not experience death. He was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things he did not yet see, in holy fear he built an ark to save his family. And by his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir with the righteous that comes by faith. by faith Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance. He obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he was as good as dead. And his descendants were as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country of the country they had left, if they were only thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be welcomed." Abraham reasoned with God that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Turn in the page. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. And by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months up after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. He was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry ground, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shook the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword. whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. I'm going to read those couple verses again about the clouds of witnesses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the officer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy sent before him entrusted the cross, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such oppression from sinful men, so that they will not grow weary and lose heart. That's really good stuff. Can't be losing heart. McDonald's, America's destination for items such as eggnog shakes and custard flavored pies. McDonald's calls them holiday pies, but I don't like calling stuff holiday. I think it's the political correct stuff. So I like calling them Christmas pies or the custard pies. But if you're looking for a quick Christmas time pick-me-up, go to McDonald's and pick up a small eggnog shake for $2. Items may vary by location. Tax extra. And see McDonald's.com for details. Now, folks, there will be one more sip of delicious eggnog shake goodness. Now I will move on back to the Word of God and go to Genesis 41, please. Turn with me to Genesis 41. Please, God, Genesis 41. We're still talking about Jacob's family. I went ahead a little too far when I was looking at some. That's 41, and now we are ready to go. Now we're going to start reading a little bit about Pharaoh's dreams. Pharaoh himself had some dreams. And we're going to read about them. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the weeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain. They were sprouting thin, and they were scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up 7 healthy full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up, and it had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream that same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dreams. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged and killed. So Pharaoh went for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and he had changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh. "But God will give Pharaoh the answer he describes." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile. When out of the river, there came up 7 cows, fat and sleek. They grazed among the weeds. After them, 7 other cows came up. They were scrawny, and they were very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all of the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. they look just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dreams, I also saw seven heads of grain full of good. I mean, they were full of good. They were growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other heads sprouted. They were withered, and they were thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has released to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years, and it is one of the same dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine." Oh, it is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all of the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all of the food of their good years that are coming, and they should store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food shall be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all the officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all of this known to you, there is no one that discerned and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. All of my people are to submit to your orders. Only of respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ordained in a chariot and his second in command. And men shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift a hand or foot in all of Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zephathus, Penah, and gave him Asias, daughter of Potiphar, priest of Onah, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence, and he traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all of the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph. Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all of my trouble and all of my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt, there was food. When all Egypt began to final the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all of the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." Hang on, I'm still reading. We're almost done, but here we go. When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, and the famine was severe. For the famine was severe throughout Egypt, and all of the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe in all of the world. Man, you talk about famine. That is some famine. Now, and that leads me straight to the story of Thanksgiving. So here we go. The first Thanksgiving, documented for sure, was in 1621. That Thanksgiving was in November 1621, months after the Pilgrims had made it to Plymouth Rock near Massachusetts and Massachusetts Bay. Keep in mind, they had landed a year prior, but in that cold winter of 1620 going into 1621 killed half of the Pilgrims. And Squanto was a key one that survived. He taught the people how to make corn and how to grow food. And the Pilgrims, you know, these Pilgrims grew food. And in fall, from November, they had a huge harvest. So the governor, William Bradford, declared a day of celebration, you know, and a feast to thank God for the great crops. Imagine if they would have had Thanksgiving back then. But back in the days of, you know, and with Egypt, you know, and Pharaoh, there was those 7 years of famine. They all had to go to Joseph to get the food. And keep in mind, though, the Thanksgiving thing, you know, that first year. I am going to tell you what that interesting note was about 1621. Instead of having turkey and mashed potatoes and stuffing, you know what? Instead, they had lobster and corn and some other things. They didn't really have the stuffing. They didn't really have the turkey. I mean, they don't know for sure. We don't know for sure whether there was turkey or not. But we do know this. We do know that they didn't have the stuff for pumpkin pie and stuff like that.
You can't have Thanksgiving without pumpkin pie, man.
Right. And the sad thing is this. The sad thing is that over the years, over a long amount of time, Thanksgiving has lost its, what they like to call religious, we like to say Christian, significance. It used to be that Thanksgiving was all about giving thanks to God and food was part of it. Now it's all about cooking up that huge meal. Nothing wrong with that. Give thanks to God for it. But it's also about just, you know, having fun watching football, having in a couple of days off work and drinking all the beer in the world. Fortunately, that's what it's become. A lot of the Christian ideas of it have been taken away, unfortunately.
Yes.
The shopping thing. Before you go shopping, if you choose to go on that Thanksgiving night, think about your family. I mean, if your family get together is like going to be, you know, at 4, 5, 6, I'm not leaving that thing. I wouldn't be leaving that thing early just to go get some deals. I mean, if the family get together you had is done with, you go to your grandma's and whatever, and then you get home and it's done with at 6, so you want to go, by all means, go. It's up to you, but I would not miss the family gathering just to go get some deals. I would not. Because ultimately, family is part of what Thanksgiving is about. But it's ultimately about God, but next in line, it should be about family. That should even be before the food and then the shopping if you choose to do that. But it should be about God, first of all. It should be about giving thanks to God, then family, then food. Because we should all love our family more than we do the turkey that's in the oven, the stuffing that's in the oven, the mashed potatoes. And we better love them more than that silly TV screen. Okay, the TV, the TV screen's not, the TV screen is not silly, and sure enough, I'm going to be listening to that game myself. We all know it. You know me well enough, you already know I'm going to be watching that Lions game. And they're going to play the Vikes next week. But that, now that with Thanksgiving coming up, we got to be grateful. We got to be thankful to God. We really got to, it's great to thank other people, but ultimately, you know, God is the ultimate provider. And even as you better your life, you know, and you earn the money and you get a house, God provided a way for you to get that money, to you to earn that money. He provides a way, you know, because God gives you the power to get wealth. So ultimately, all your wealth, all this stuff, ultimately wouldn't happen without God. Now, how do these people make it without God? I don't know. My mom used to say all the time when me and Ray were little, we're nothing without God.
Amen.
And I would ask her, how do these people who don't know him, how do they make it without him? They said, we don't know. I mean, she said, we don't know, you know? And I choose to still go to God. Those who don't, the way they still make it, I don't know how they make it. I'll never know how they make it. But I'm so glad that through God, you know, I have a house. I thank God for my great mom and dad, for my brother. I thank God for my family. I thank God for you doing this with me. I thank God for everyone who helps me. I mean, is the earth perfect? No! Of course not. But we still got to thank God for what we have, even though it might not necessarily be perfect. And of course, the world's not going to be perfect until we're all, nothing's going to all be perfect until we're all in heaven. We should still be thankful. Because the Word of God says, in everything, give thanks. Not for everything. I don't give thanks if a storm were to ravage my house. I don't give thanks for the storm, you know. I tell you, I wasn't giving thanks when that flood ravaged this city 7 months ago. I wasn't.
Yeah.
For a bit, I was having fun with the thunder for like the first 30, 40 minutes, but then it stopped thundering, but it was still raining heavily, and then an hour later, it's still raining. Now, this is like at 12-something, and I'm like, because it was like a good thunderstorm, and it was raining heavy, so I have a screen door and screen window and had it open listening to the storm, and then an hour later, it's like, I'm going to close this window and then go to sleep. So I go to sleep, and then I wake up, and in the morning, the news, I'm hearing about all this flood stuff. And then I'm like, huh? And then in a way, I'm like, well, it did rain really hard for at least 2 hours last night, you know? Because the reason I was still up is because the Tigers were on, so I was listening to the Tigers who were on the road and the rain. But I'm up listening to it, you know? And I'm like, you know, it really did rain hard for 2 hours. So in a way, I'm like, huh? It rained like that for a bunch more hours? And apparently, according to the news, yep, because a bunch of roads were flooded. Luckily, mine wasn't, and streets right next to my house weren't flooded. My basement didn't even flood, which I think is a miracle in itself. And I think God, I still think God, even though it's months removed, that my neighborhood didn't flood. Because I'm sure you've heard some stories of some people who lost a bunch of stuff
sure.
in this flood back in June. And even if you don't know a certain person who lost everything, you might possibly know someone who knows somebody who knows somebody. You know, but yeah, we get a lot to be thankful for, and it's more important that we don't take stuff for granted. It's a funny thing. In a way, it's kind of sad if you think about it, that sometimes it might work this way. On Thursday, we thank God. We're thankful for everything. On Friday, on Black Friday, we go push through people, break down doors, and all that. Also, we can save a few dollars on that stinking TV. Or whatever
else.
Help us.
Some of us, you really got to look at it. I mean, if you're going to go shopping, go ahead and go. Just don't be one of those that pushes down a door. Don't be one of those that starts a fight. Because all that does is makes it trouble for everyone else. God wants things decent and in order. That doesn't just mean the house of God. That means our behavior. That we should be decent and in order. That means we shouldn't be pushing people in Target, Best Buy, Walmart, wherever else. Shouldn't be doing that. And it's funny that Thanksgiving thing led me straight to Thanksgiving, but it did. Because we give thanks, you know, that he's provided for us. And luckily, these days, at least in this country, we don't have famines like that. Thank God.
Right.
No, I plan to have. It's going to be at a restaurant over in Chase, Michigan, now west of 131. We're going to have. Still probably going to have some great food for us: some turkey, mashed potatoes. I don't do stuffing that much, but maybe I will this time. Corn. Some dessert, some rolls, maybe another piece of turkey. Who knows? But yeah, I plan to go at it and then watch the great football game. Obviously give thanks to God because we have to. No, we don't have to. We really should, though. We get to. You don't have to do nothing for God. You get to. You get to serve Him, and it really is a pleasure. You get to serve Him, and we can't be taking this kind of stuff for granted. And you know who declared Thanksgiving as an annual holiday? It was Abraham Lincoln in 1863, in the middle of the Civil War. In the middle of the Civil War, he declared the first Thanksgiving as far as based on an annual federal holiday. Originally, it was to be the last Thursday of November, regardless of when it fell. So that means that this year, based on that, the original Lincoln formula, Thanksgiving wouldn't be for 2 weeks. Thanksgiving, but in the 1930s, Franklin Roosevelt made a law during the Great Depression to deal with it by to try to get spark more retail sales by moving Thanksgiving up a week so that it would be as early as, for example, if Thanksgiving would have been on the 24th that year, it would have then been like on like the 17th. It got to the point that some states were doing it at weird times. And by weird, I mean one state would do it, say, on the Thursday of the 19th, whereas another state would be like, we're going to do it on the 26th. To put an end to all this confusion, in 1941, he issued reluctantly issued a rule that officially said that Thanksgiving would be on the fourth Thursday of November, which is where we get Thanksgiving on the 23rd this year, as the 23rd is the third Thursday, the fourth Thursday. And that's what happened with the dates. Now, we've had people, you may remember Dr. Barkley at one point said that there was some people who are trying to take away Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. And in Jesus' name, they're not going to. What I mean by take it away is we could still celebrate them, but they wouldn't be organized national holidays anymore. I hope that never becomes the case in this country, because those are three true key holidays, not just for American people, but for Christians in this country. Now, obviously, in Canada, they're doing Thanksgiving on Columbus Day, which is a bit different, but they do it when they do it, and they have their reasons, and, you know, they do it when they want. So, Lord, I give you praise and glory and honor and thanks for this word. I pray that people will take this to heart. Not just what I read about faith, but also the stuff about Joseph being in charge of Egypt and Pharaoh, those dreams, all that. But let them take to heart also the words I said about, you know, Thanksgiving, the importance of it, and the idea that it really is a Christian holiday in which we ought to do, more importantly than anything else, giving thanks to God, to you, God, giving thanks to you. I thank you, O God, that the listeners will take this to heart. And I just give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, if you want to give your life to Christ and you'd like us to talk through it, you can call that special number. That number is 215-383-3810. Again, that number is 215-383-3810. You will press 1. You'll go through the screener. And then we will answer the phone and we'll help you through it. It's painless. It does not cost any money. It only takes 15 seconds. Pretty good deal if you ask me.
Pretty good
deal. Everything else and everybody else wants your money. What'd you say?
Pretty good deal if you ask me.
It really is a good deal if you ask me. It really is, because it's free, doesn't take much time, and it'll change your life for the much better. It's going to make your life so much better if you just do it. And you'll be so glad you did it too. And every time someone repents of sin or turns their life to Christ, the angels have a great big party in heaven. They're like having a big party up there. And especially when a prodigal comes home, man, great thing. Great thing is that when they, it's like they have like a feast in heaven when someone gives their life to Christ, comes home. Because it's a good thing to be honest, to be back home in the kingdom of God for those who have left. And to those of you who give your life to Christ and for the first time, welcome aboard the bus that is the kingdom of God. Stay along for the ride. It'll be a good ride. Let me give you praise and honor and glory for that. Now, we delve into the great world of sports, and I am going to start with something a little different this time. Dun, 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 dun. You got that right. If that music sounds familiar, it is, because that is Michigan State fight song, and it is time for your first Michigan State Spartan basketball update of the season, 2017-2018 season. Michigan State, ranked number 2. Goes to Chicago, the Champions Classic in Chicago, to take on the number 1 team in the country. The number 1 team in the country, that is Duke. And Michigan State falls to Duke 88-81. What caused Michigan State trouble? Well, at times at Michigan State got into foul trouble and was struggling with turning the ball over. And so it made it so that the other guys were able to get a bunch of free throws. Duke was, and that made the difference for them. At times, two different times, Michigan State came back from 10-point deficits and was able to come back and at least tie, took the lead a couple times. But through and through, they were not able to finish. Miles Bridges led the way for Michigan State, that great star, Miles. Good player. Sunday, they play at home. Now, we go to college football, and we're going to stay with Michigan State. They take on Maryland in East Lansing, I believe. It's in East Lansing. Hey,
Go ahead.
Yes, so they take on Maryland Terrapins in East Lansing. Last week, Michigan State was totally pummeled by Ohio State, 48-3.
Oh, my.
I look for Michigan State to return the favor of it this week and come back and show that they're better than that. I look for Michigan State to win. I think this is going to be a 24-17 game. So it'll be a little bit tighter than that Michigan-Maryland game. But it goes to show you how Michigan is compared to Michigan State. As Michigan really is getting better since they brought that new quarterback out, and he really made a difference for them. Great eggnog shake, by the way. I'm going to finish this before it melts, but once again, I thank McDonald's for being a gracious host and letting us do this here. Love them a lot. Great stuff. Now to continue. But they got to improve a bit more on their defense. They need to really improve, and they got to get some points on the board. So they just really need to play a better game this week if they do want to beat the Terrapins. Now, we have Michigan at Wisconsin on Saturday at Wisconsin in Madison at 12 noon. This game will be available for your listening pleasure on these two radio stations. One is on the AM dial 790 WSGW. The other option is 104.9 WQBX. Depending on where you are, will determine on what station will work better. Over here in Midland, I think it can be either or. Over in Bay City, I would suggest 790 WSGW. But out in the Mount Pleasant area, places like that, going down to Elma, I would suggest 104.9 WQBX. Both of these are your home of U of M football for the season. But off of the where to listen to it and onto the game itself and what I see. What I see is Wisconsin is undefeated, ranked number 5 in the nation. They really want to go to the playoff. Michigan really is playing better since that Penn State game. What do I think? I think Michigan's going to be... I am going to take Michigan this time, and I'm feeling good about it. But it's not going to be easy at all. I think it's going to be a total nail-biter. I have to take Michigan over Wisconsin 28-26, a 2-point difference, as Michigan could end up finding themselves down by like 5 points, score a touchdown, get an extra point to end up taking it. 28-26, Michigan over. It's going to be 28-26, Michigan over Wisconsin. Now, it's time for your NFL update from the National Football League. Da-da-da-dum, da-dum. First off, we begin with your Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They play the... Let me remember who they play. Nope. I'm going to go to the Lions first. They play on Sunday. They take on the Bears in Chicago. Bears are not doing well at all. They've lost several games of late. Lions, they struggled for most of 3 quarters last week. On Sunday, and were able to finish out strong to win 38-24. What do I see this week? I do see the Lions winning. I will say, give me the Lions over the Bears.
Go Lions!
24-20. Lions will end up 6-4 after this week. Next, we have a Sunday night game that features the Eagles and the Cowboys. Now you have the Eagles, that are really flying high, doing a great job. You got Dallas, who had their fourth loss, and are without Zeke Elliott for the second game of the six-game suspension. What do I see? I see the Eagles winning over the Cowboys. This will be a 29-24 game.
Wow.
Cowboys will make it interesting at times, but they won't be able to finish it off. Plus, you know, without Ezekiel Elliott, it'll be a bit harder for them to get it done. And your Monday night football game of the week takes you to Atlanta Falcons versus the Seattle Seahawks.
Yep.
Sometimes I like to call them the Seagulls. two decent teams. Obviously, the Falcons have not quite been as great as they were supposed to be this year. They almost lost to the Lions, but thanks to that silly 10-second runoff rule, they got lucky there with that one. Seahawks are doing okay, but they lost one of their star athletes for the rest of the season to injury. I will take Atlanta over Seattle. This is going to be 26-22. Atlanta will play good on defense, and Seattle's going to have make it a bit of a defensive game to keep Atlanta from scoring too many points. So that's what I see it being, 26-22. Now, we are going to go to high school football in Division One. Your state semifinal action, Region 1 Clarkston versus Region 2 Detroit Catholic Central at Walled Lake Western. Wolves Shamrocks, a rematch of the 2013 state championship game at Ford Field, which Clarkston won.
Wow.
So what you have is you have Josh Cantu and a pretty good Clarkston team against a Shamrocks team from Detroit Catholic Central who played two games out of state and lost both of them. So in state, they only have two losses, but when combined with out of state, they have four. So they were 5-4 at the end of regular season, and you add three wins to that, makes it 8-4. If you were to go just based on in-state schedule, I would say it would be pretty even, which is why I have to take it pretty close when I go with how I pick this game. Clarkston, I'm feeling good, but it's not going to be easy. I'm going to take Wolves over Shamrocks, 30-28, Wolves going to Ford Field, third time in 5 years. Wolves are gonna make it, and then I'll be there to watch it. Next, in the other Division I semifinal, you have Region 4.
Region 4, hang on.
I think it's 3 West Bloomfield and 4 Cass.
Wait, you got in Division 1 or 2?
1.
1, hold on, I'm on the wrong page here. All right, Division 1, you got Detroit Cass Tech and West Bloomfield is the
right,
other side.
Right, but which region is it? Because like I did with the other one, I numbered them by region.
Yeah, region 3 and 4. Detroit Catskills is region 3, and West Bloomfield is region 4.
Okay, so you have, because I almost said it was Bloomfield 3 and Cass Tech 4, but it's actually Cass 3 and Bloomfield 4.
Yes, sir.
So, folks, so you have region 3, Detroit Cass Tech, and region 4, West Bloomfield. Keep in mind that West Bloomfield and Clarkston are in the same league. In fact, in the same district of league for regular season play. So it's kind of strange to me that they put Clarkston in Region 1 and West Bloomfield all the way in Region 4. To me, that makes absolutely no sense. But someone's got to go somewhere.
Someone's got to go somewhere, don't they?
And they needed a team to go, you know, to end up possibly going west at some point. So that happened to be Clarkston. Which does make sense because you look at the map of the state and the map of how Division One was. That was what made the most sense when you do base it on regionals, was to send Clarkston out that way rather than West Bloomfield or Detroit Cass Tech. So that's why it is the way it is. So, anyhow, you have Cass Tech, Bloomfield. West Bloomfield, first time being there in a while. Cass Tech looking to go back to Ford Field for the third time in a row. Keep in mind, this is Cass Tech's fourth straight semifinal that they've taken part in. Now, this year, it is Cass Tech versus West Bloomfield. This is at Troy Athens High School over in Troy. Cass Tech Bloomfield. I am going to take Cass Tech 25 versus West Bloomfield. It'll be Cass Tech 25-21 over West Bloomfield. So you'll have Cass Tech Clarkston, in my opinion, for your Division One matchup, which will be on Saturday, November 25th, at 1 o'clock at Ford Field. I'm going to be there regardless of who that matchup is, though. I'm still going to be there. And it's going to be a good game. If Clarkston makes it, chances are there's going to be 10,000 Wolves fans there. And I'm excited about it. I want to hear that Jungle student section and see what they do. You know, they'll be into that. I'm really excited. But we'll see what happens. They play the game for a reason. I can predict these things all I want, but that doesn't mean it's going to be that way.
Exactly. So, game day always turns out different, doesn't it?
Yep, it's not always going the way I predict. Obviously, not exactly the scores, but even the teams who I want to win, or I pick to win, even if the team I pick is different from the one I want, which happened to me in one of the Midland games. I picked Midland to lose, and they were able to win. And that was actually made me feel better, actually, that happened. But, hey, it's the game. So, you have Frankenmuth going to play. Frankenmuth is playing, what is that team they're playing that's from the west side of the state? Oh, it's Saugatuck. Frankenmuth, Saugatuck, at Fenton. And I think the Moose is heading to Ford Field. They're going to eat some fried chicken after the game Saturday night, I think. And I think they're going to be heading to Ford Field. I think it's going to be the Moose Eagles 29 versus Saugerdun 24. Also,
good close game.
The other local game, you have Swan Valley going up to play Iron Mountain, or the Iron County or whatever that Iron School is up there in Marquette. You have Swan Valley still alive, and you have Ithaca still alive. So you still have several local teams. Oh, along with Nivelle. So Saginaw County, you still have four teams left. Four.
Wow.
Whereas Midland County was done first week, which is just crazy that Saginaw County was able to survive so well. And you still got Ithaca. So you got a menu. We'll see. The goal is to see how many of these can make it to Ward Field next weekend. Like I said, I'm going to be there most certainly for the 1 o'clock. And then the 4:31, we'll see. We'll see about that one. I won't be out there down there Friday. I'm going to be doing some Black Friday stuff, dealing with at least one of the malls and possibly another one. The one for sure is Great Lakes. The other one, I'm still figuring out which one I want it to be. Whether I want it to be like Lakeside or Somerset or possibly Oakland. It's not going to be 12 Oaks, though. I have nothing against 12 Oaks, but that's just not one I want to go to this Black Friday. So it's going to be sticking to like either the middle or the east side, you know, of the metro, because 12 Oaks is a bit out of the way from Clarkston, you know. A bit more than those other ones I said, as far as time-wise. But, nonetheless, we'll see. Now, tonight, you have, in NBA basketball, you have Pistons taking on Milwaukee in Milwaukee. I think they have what it takes to get another win and keep the winning streak going. So, the good streak you guys got going, 5 in a row, let's keep it going. Keep it going, you know. Good job, Pistons. Let's keep the streak going so we can get the stadium fuller at the Palace and get that place louder again and like it ought to be. My goal would be to see that Little Caesars Arena be louder than the Palace, as I think it's capable of being based on the way the design is. And then you just got to hope. Now tonight, you also have Red Wings at home, and I see the Red Wings winning tonight 3-2. Game is at 7:30 on 790 WSGW AM. Pistons game is 8 p.m. on ESPN 100.9 FM. For your listener enjoyment, both of these are available on TV. Check your listings for channel. Now, folks, whatever you do this weekend, you know, with these games, have fun watching these games or going to these games if you're going to support one of these high school teams. Have fun. Be a great sport. Make your town proud.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because remember, as they say at the MHSAA, good sports are always winners. Good sports never lose. That doesn't mean they don't lose.
You didn't run
ball.
Out of innings. It just means you don't lose.
You might lose the ball game, but you don't lose as far as character goes and stuff. you still win. You know, you
that's
still
a great
lose.
Yogi Berra quote. Did you know that? That was a Yogi Berra quote.
The
they
one
said,
that
Yogi, you lost. And he said, nope, I just ran out of innings.
Yeah, so it, so in their case, they could say, they'd be like, yeah, you guys lost. They're like, no, we didn't lose. We just ran out of quarters. We just played all 48 minutes. We don't have any more time. Because, you know, those 12-minute quarters, that means 48 minutes. It's like, no, we just ran out of minutes. We played 48 minutes and there's no time left. And then, therefore, you know, based on the scoreboard, you lost, but, you know, but be great sports. Don't get mad at the opponents. Don't boo the opponents as tempting as it might be, because it's not sportsmen like to do that. It's really not. And I've been at these games before where fans have cursed when the opponent scored. That's not cool. Please don't do that. Don't do that. It's not, because those players will hear it. And, yeah, I'm at Western, Bay City Western once. I'm going down to use the bathroom. You know, I'm going down to use the bathroom. Midland's playing Western in Western. I'm still on our side of the field. We're walking down the steps. Midland scores a touchdown while I'm watching. And their fans are really mad. Some of them are booing. And their student section is cursing at Midland. You know, being not nice. Some of them threw corn at Midland. That's not sportsmanlike to do that. Be good. Be class act. You know, as anyone would want you to be. Just be proud that your school has made it this far. Don't be angry just because your opponent scored or because your opponent beat you guys. You know, sportsmanship is so important. That's why they teach that to the kids, you know, about having great sportsmanship. Because, you know who always is winners? Good sports. You got to be a good sport. That means you follow the rules of the game. You know, you don't do the helmet-to-helmet stuff. You don't do these things that penalize you, take yards away from you. And as fans, you don't do anything that could possibly get you ejected. You don't throw stuff. You act mature. You handle things the right way. Even if it's not going the way you want it to go, like when you're sitting there at that game. Or at home when you're watching that game, the basketball game or whatever, you know. Don't throw stuff at the TV, because throwing something at the TV isn't gonna make those Pistons shoot more baskets.
Just break the TV.
Not gonna make that hockey goal go in. You don't get that hockey puck and throw it at the TV thinking it's going to go in as a goal magically. It doesn't work that way. It really doesn't work that way. So, like I said, this weekend as you're watching these games, just be good, have good conduct, have a good time. And remember, God comes before everything else.
Yeah.
God is supposed to be first in your life, not sports, not your family. Family is important. Don't get me wrong. Family is so important, man. But God comes before all that stuff. God should be your first love. If he isn't, we got a problem. And folks, before I send off, I'm going to pray Psalms 91 real quick. Lord God, I thank you for Psalms 91 over these people. I speak Psalm 91 over them. I claim that, but in your name, Jesus, nothing shall come near them. No plague shall come nigh their dwelling. No suicide, no homicide, no fire, no flood, no crash, no sickness, no disease, no rapist, no burglar. None of this evil stuff. No terrorists, no mass shootings. None of this is going to come near us we're going to live in great peace, great joy, be a powerful witness for you, Lord Jesus, till we see you all again, which will be on Monday. And we give you praise and honor and glory for safety and protection for those who may be traveling this weekend to go to their relatives. Thank you, Lord God, that their cars are going to crash this weekend. It won't be ours, anybody we know. A plane could crash. It won't have anybody on it we know or that we love or anybody that listens to this program. By faith, we're going to be in great peace and joy and prosperity. We'll be a powerful witness for you, Jesus, until we meet again on this program, which will be Monday night. Give you praise and honor for that, Lord God. And God first, God always. I sure love you. And as the church would say, I love you too, Pastor. But I'd be like, I love you too, Miracle Man, or whatever, you know. Start again. I sure love you.
Love you too, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Keep the faith, man.
Thank you so much. And God bless you, everybody. So long, everybody. I will see you all on Monday.
All right.
Mom.
Oh, yeah, you did. I remember.